see if we can get in on Facebook side. We are on the streaming side, and we're just going to continue on with Bible study. If we cannot get on Facebook, then we'll just continue on because we are on the streaming side.
All right. Well, let's have prayer as we prepare for tonight. We're going to be in the fourth chapter of Songs of Solomon. And we praise God for each of you who are able to pick us up tonight. And we hope that this will clear up as we move through. We're still not getting anything on the Facebook side, but we do praise God for each of you. Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for being our God. We thank you for sustaining us in the midst of everything that we're going through. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for allowing us to make it through this day to this place at this appointed time, safe and sound. We thank you for your covering over us. We thank you for keeping us even when we didn't have sense enough to keep ourselves. And so, God, now we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you, and we do thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And praise God.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to continue on as we make our way through this time together tonight, the fourth chapter of Song of Solomon. But Lady Kim, before we go there, just share a little bit about what we experienced on yesterday in our worship experience as Dr. Rush came all the way from South Haven, Mississippi, to impart a word and to share with us and to pour into us. Tell us a little bit about what that word was all about on yesterday.
Well, I thought it was a fantastic word. She preached from the theme, an unshakable faith, from Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 22 and through 28, where the woman of Canaan came and cried unto Jesus, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David, that my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." And the scripture says he didn't say a word. It said he answered her not a word, but his disciples came and saw him or told him, said, "Jesus, just send her away. You know, she keeps worrying us and she keeps crying after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "Woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So okay, this was a powerful text, an unshakable faith. Dr. Rush had a few points. She said that the woman was optimistic. You know, she went to Jesus. She was optimistic that he could help her.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about this text was she said, "Lord, help me." You know, she didn't say, "Help my daughter." She said, "My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil," but she answered, "Lord, have mercy on me." And you know, as parents, we worry about our children. When our children are in pain, we are in pain. And so I think one of the significant things that she brought out is that she was very optimistic that Jesus could meet her needs and take care of her daughter and heal her daughter. And then it says she seized the opportunity. You know, she took an opportunity to go to Jesus, and she bowed down and she worshiped him. When she worshiped God, you know, when we worship God, I think she said that's when our blessings come, when we learn how to worship God. And then she said also that she was overwhelmed by the outcome. You know, if Jesus had an interesting response to the woman when she asked for his help, he said, "It's not proper for me to take the food, you know, and throw it to the dogs." But she said even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. So, you know, that was an interesting response that she had, as well as an interesting response that Jesus had to her. And she was overwhelmed by the outcome because he saw her faith. And he said because of her faith, then her daughter would be made whole.
Isn't that powerful? And that's a great reminder for us in this season, because many times we are praying and interceding and we're coming before God on behalf of others. But God looks at our heart, and he looks at the sincerity of our prayers and our requests. And many times, just as we see here in this text, he blessed the woman's daughter because of the mother's faith. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we have an unshakable faith. We need to be steadfast in this season, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so I just want to encourage somebody who's perhaps waiting to get an answer from God, who has a prayer on the line, and it may not be for you. It may be for someone else. The Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so we know that God is indeed a prayer answering God, and we can always count on God. And he may not come when we want him to.
Amen.
But I believe I have some witnesses out there tonight who knows that he's always right on time. And so even as we're moving through this time together and trying to resolve our technical difficulties, we know that God will not only hear, but he will answer our prayers. And we know that things will work out, and it will overwhelm us to the point where we have to say, just like this woman, she didn't say this, but we'll have to say, that's got to be God. I mean, nobody can do that but God. Nobody can handle our situations the way God can. And so we have to have the audacity and the boldness and the sincerity and just stretch out on our faith. It's time to stretch your faith. Amen. In this season, and have an unshakable faith and say, devil, come hell or high water, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give out, but I'm going to hold on to your unchanging hand.
Yes.
And so I praise God for that word on yesterday, and for Dr. Rush as she came and poured into us. And as we shared with the people yesterday, Dr. Rush was a tremendous blessing to Anointed Temple of Praise during her ministry there at ATOP, as she served as the executive pastor, and she served us well. And her and her husband and the congregants, they are now in South Haven, right off of Rascal Road, doing a great work for God. And so not only did we receive from her, but we wanted to make sure that she took something with her when she left. And so we seeded into the ministry as well. And so we hope and pray that God will continue to bless them as they go forward and as they go through the process of building that ministry for the glory of God. Well, let's jump into this word tonight, Lady Kim. There are only about, 16 verses?
Yes,
there?
Just 16 verses.
And so there's a lot of imagery still coming forth. And as we expressed on last week, it's amazing how God took time to deposit this chapter, this whole book, if you will, about it's a love chapter. It's a love book. It's a book that helps us bring clarity to relationships. It helps us to understand the significance and importance of not only the love between a king and a Shulamite woman, but also the love between God and his people and how God loves us. And I think the parallel is there. As we read through this, we'll see that it's expressing not only how King Solomon loved this Shulamite woman and took her as his bride, the same is true with how God expresses his love toward us and how we ought to respond in a powerful and a mighty way as it relates to the great love that God has expressed toward us. And so here's what we have here, Lady Kim, and then we'll read these 16 verses and we can come back. or we can just go through them verse by verse. But some of the things we see that takes place here is that King Solomon and this Shulamite woman, he's really expressing his physical, he's talking about the physical features of this Shulamite woman. Mm-hmm. He goes as far as talking about the lips, and he talks about the eyes, the skin, the hair, the neck, the mouth, and he's just going through an array of expressions as to how much he appreciate the outward appearance of this Shulamite woman. And you know, as I was thinking about that, there's a passage in the Bible where it says man looks on the outward appearance, yes, okay, but God looks on the heart. And so even though we have people who might have the attractive features outwardly, we need to make sure now that what we express outwardly is matched with our love for God inwardly, mm-hmm, in terms of how we ought to behave and how people ought to see us. There are some things that people can't see that's on the inside of us. And so we need to have a heart that's pure and that's right and pleasing in God's eyesight. David even put it this way. He says, create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that the heart is right. Mm-hmm. And that if your heart is pure, if your heart is right, then it has an attraction and attractiveness on the outside as well.
That's right. Okay. What comes in has the tendency to come out.
Okay.
You know, if you're a kind and loving person, you know, inwardly it's going to come out outwardly.
Is
but if
right?
you're a mean and evil person, mm-hmm, you have an evil heart, an evil spirit,
okay,
then eventually it's going to come out.
You
I
think
don't care
so?
How you make it up, how mm-hmm you dress it up,
okay,
how you smile it up, eventually it's going to come out.
Okay, mm-hmm, all right. Just elaborate a little bit more on that, Lady Kim, because you hit on something there, and I just want to make sure other people understand. Because you're saying, and just help me if I'm going away from your main thought, you're saying that sometimes people can have an evil and mean spirit,
mm-hmm,
and they can possess an outward appearance that doesn't reflect that.
Absolutely.
But there comes a time when that what's on the inside of them will be exposed,
mm-hmm,
and it's almost like when you turn up the heat, you know, you like to drink tea every morning, and you can hear when you have that old teapot.
It'll whistle when water starts boiling.
Is ready. And mm-hmm, so I think, you know, when you put people in a situation where you turn up the heat,
mm-hmm,
it's going to give a clear indicator of who they are,
mm-hmm,
based upon how they respond, you know, when the pressure is on.
Absolutely.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
When the heat is turned up.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And so we have to be mindful of that, because people will tell you who they are, and many times we don't want to receive that because we're so caught up in an outward appearance,
right,
till we don't pay that much attention to what we see, what we hear them saying, and what we see in terms of their behavior.
That's right. That's exactly what I was saying.
Okay. All right. I took a little bit longer to say that, but I was just trying to make sure, because somebody, you know, might be listening tonight, and we're still having a little technical difficulties with our Facebook side. We have our technicians looking into it. But someone might be yet caught up in the way that a person looks on the outside and have not paid any attention to what's happening with their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can't see that. I know it's something that you can't see, but the expressions and the behavior is a reflection of what's on the inside.
Amen. And the Bible also says, try the spirit by the spirit.
That's right.
So, you know, a lot of times, and this is fitting right in with what we're talking about with the Song of Solomon, because Solomon found his true love.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times when we're dating and when we're looking for another mate, we're so attracted with the outward appearance.
Okay.
But it's not only the outward appearance that matters, because a lot of people look good. A lot of things look good, but mm-hmm, everything that looks good isn't good for you.
All right.
I saw a picture on Facebook recently, and it showed a picture of an apple, and it was a mirror, and you could see the nice shiny part of the apple reflected in the mirror, but on the back side of the apple there was a big plug taken out of
wow.
it. And so that was a great visual that a lot of times what we see mm-hmm. is not really what's there at all.
Okay.
It's what's on the inside that counts. And so a lot of people can pretend to be something that they are not.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get to know that person, then you find out a lot of things about them. Now, nobody is perfect.
That's
Let's
right.
say that.
All right.
The only person who was perfect was Jesus.
Okay.
And we have to learn how to compromise and accept one another's flaws. Everybody has faults.
Okay.
Everybody has flaws. And one of the things I found kind of, it was a humorous in a way, but in another way, it was so endearing how Solomon talked about the different attributes, the different parts. He even talked about the woman's teeth.
That's right. That's right. That's
I was
right.
like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
He's talking about her teeth. So what a beautiful love story that is. You know how you were when you were first head over heels for that man or that woman. You know, everything about them was right.
Mm-hmm.
But once you got to know them, you start to see little things that you didn't like about it.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, it's not the little things. It's not the little things that count. You know, it's the overall picture that you have to take into account.
Okay. Well, you said a mouthful now. I'm trying to track you as you make your way, because you talked about those little things and how many times that can create an issue
mm-hmm.
if you don't watch them, you know, and pay attention mm-hmm. to that. Is that right?
That's right.
And so there are signals. There are signs and signals. And when I'm doing premarital, oftentimes I see the glitz and the glamour and the glow and the sparkle. And I try to take people through a process of understanding now. The honeymoon is going to be over, but I want you to enjoy it as long as you can. But there are some things that you need to really pay close attention to, because sooner or later it's going to surface. And if you're not ready for that, then it's going to be a major disturbance in trying to regroup if you haven't really tried to identify some of the issues. Because a lot of times, Lady Kim, people bring excess baggage to relationships, and they're so eager in their efforts to get married till they don't do a full scale investigation, if you will, in terms of behaviors, in terms of patterns, and also in the way in which they treat some old people. You say if the way they treat animals and kids and the parents, you can tell a lot about a person then, how they treat their parents, how the kids respond to them, and how animals respond. Now, if you are not and everybody's not a dog, cat person, an animal person, everybody doesn't like kids, but everybody ought to at least have a proper relationship that it shows that they do love their parents, or they love their mother or their father if they're still living. And you can take a good look at a person, how they respond and how they deal with those three things, and it'll give you a clear, if they kick the cat, if they shoot a dog, and if the kids don't want to have nothing to do with them, and they frown up and they start hollering when they try to pick them up, you know, those are some inward signals. And I don't know what that's all about, but I'm just trying to help somebody get some clarity in terms of how they ought to deal with and take investigative, because you talked about that spirit. You know, we have to make sure we try that spirit by the spirit, and then I think it'll help us along the way.
Amen. Absolutely.
All right. Now, I don't know if all of that fit into what we were talking
it
about.
It does. It okay. absolutely fits in with what we're talking about.
All right. Well, we're kind of at a disadvantage tonight, but we praise God for those who are on the streaming side, and we're getting some information as we prepare to move through this fourth chapter. I'm going to check this message and see what's going on. The software on and Facebook, we can't troubleshoot it. if you're streaming, okay, it's the issue with the software and the Facebook. So we'll continue to go on. But let's go ahead and read this fourth chapter, Lady Kim, and there are about 16 verses there. Let's just break this down and maybe read the first five verses, and then we'll talk a little bit about those, and then we'll pick the next five up, and we'll finish up with that last six.
All right. We're in the fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, beginning with the first verse. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appears from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies.
Okay, so that was the first five verses of this fourth chapter. And we see how Solomon is really being expressive in terms of his appreciation for the beauty of this Shunammite woman. And he starts out talking about the first one is the eyes. Is that what the first verse talks about, the eyes?
Yes, mm-hmm. Like dove's eyes.
And mm-hmm. So the bridegroom really here speaks of an affection, and he's adorning her, and he's really talking about how he's praising her for her eyes that are gleaming, and how attractive she is in terms of the beauty of her eyes. And also he's making reference to her hair as well in this verse, and that makes mention of when he talks about it's long and dark, and it's making reference to where the dove's eyes and the locks, within the locks, their hair is a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Mm-hmm. That's one translation, how it reads. And so that's making reference to not only the eyes, but to the hair as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that I looked up when I researched is that it says Solomon was focused solely on her and not on himself, touching her with his words first. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Touching her with his words first before he touched her with his hands. He laid aside any fears this virgin bride may have had for their first night together, and he showed how much he cared for her and how selfish he was.
Okay.
By describing and making her feel at ease by touching her with these beautiful words, describing how in love he was with her and describing her physical features.
Okay. And so that second verse, he starts focusing in on her teeth, and how he talks about how beautiful and how white and how perfectly made they are. And he uses a reference here as it relates to that as well in this second verse. He said that teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even scorn, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them. And so when he talks about none is barren among them, he's making reference to the fact that none of the teeth are missing.
Mm.
And so this is the whole point of reference as it relates to her teeth.
Mm-hmm. And that was important back in that day, you know, the dental hygiene. There's no doubt that this bride took Solomon's breath away. Her beauty just took his breath away. But You know, the Bible says he wasn't a bad looking man. No, you know, he mm-hmm. was a nice looking man also. So they talk about the physical features of each other. But of course, like I said, that her beauty just took his breath away, refreshing him like a fountain. The question to consider for those married today is, could your spouse say the same about you? Do you speak words of tenderness and praise of the other about their beauty? So do you encourage your spouse about how handsome he is or how beautiful she is? Unfortunately, you know, sometimes the longer people are married, the familiarity sets in, and what's forgotten is the feeling they once had for each other, such as a deep love and how that love refreshes each of you. So many a marriage tend to neglect these things through time. As a married couple, and in particular as the effort to love each other just as Christ has loved the church.
Okay. All right. I was just laughing because you said a whole lot, and I was trying to make sure I deciphered what you were saying in terms of how important it is, and I'm just paraphrasing what you said, how important it is even in the same admiration or the same affection you had in the beginning mm-hmm. should be continuous throughout the marriage and throughout the relationship. And the same thing as the old song I make reference, same thing it took.
To get your baby hooked.
You going to let me say this or you going to do it? No. You thinking it all
you.
Out of my mouth. You was all up in my mouth. I can't even get my words out. The same thing it took to get your baby hooked. What, Will? What you gonna do? Can I talk?
Come on.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead and finish it.
This is you.
No, this is your part. I'm through with my part. This is your part. It's gonna take the same thing to keep her. So it's important for. Like you just expressed, Lady Kim, and I know we're joking and having fun, but it's good to make sure that you show an appreciation. Love is an action word, and it has to be expressed not only in words, but in deed. And sometimes people get so caught up and say, well, I told you this, but they don't show it. And so I'm more into showing than I am into talking. And some people, that's based upon their personality and their characteristics of their behavior. And, you know, and a lot of it, I think, has to do with background that people find themselves growing up in. Because here's one of the things I've learned from different people, and Dr. Holmes was one who really kind of helped me with this. If there's no love expressed in your home growing up, no hugs, no appreciation, no encouragement, then the person will grow up with a behavior that says that I shouldn't do that. I don't know how to do that. Or when it is expressed, they have an awkward, they're in an awkward place because they haven't experienced it growing up. And so sometimes you'll find people who are mature in age, but they have not matured in terms of being expressive and sharing how much they love and appreciate somebody because it was never expressed in the home. And so that's a word for parents as well as for those who are yet still rearing children in the home. We have to make sure that we encourage our kids and make sure that we hug them and tell them we love them and let them know that you're praying with them and for them and speaking well over their lives and covering them with godly things so that when they do get out there and when they do experience somebody who perhaps is lacking in that area, they can help that person go through. Because everybody doesn't come out of a wholesome, loving, godly environment. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it difficult because some people come out of an abusive, toxic family environment, and people many times have things locked inside of them that's difficult for them to express when somebody else is being over expressive in terms of them being free to share with people how they feel.
Mm-hmm. And you said a lot right there, because it is important that we show our children the love and affection that they need, so that when they grow up, they can continue that pattern. Not only continue that pattern with their children, but continue that pattern in the relationships that they find themselves in. You know, we used to say it's important for a girl to have the love of that father, the affection from that father, so they won't go out into the street looking for love in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's equally as important that boys see the love of the parents, the mother and the father together, so that they will learn how to treat their wives, their future wives, and how they treat their girlfriends. Like you said, an abusive relationship, that comes from, you know, many times seeing abuse within their family. And so it's important that they see love and they feel love, and that you express love towards your children, so that they can know what to look for in a relationship. That when they are in an abusive relationship, they'll know that it's wrong, and to get out of that abusive relationship.
Absolutely.
Or they won't even get into it in the first place.
That's right. That's
because
right.
They know that they're not feeling the love that they should.
Yeah. And you know, like you just expressed, and one of the sayings that goes along with that is that hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you come out of a bad situation, or you come out of a toxic relationship, many times that same type of relationship stems over into whatever you are engaged in and whatever you are involved in terms of your behavior once you have made a commitment to live with somebody or to marry someone or to be in relationship with them.
Amen.
And so we have to be mindful of that. And we're just talking about how Solomon was very expressive, and how he was making sure that he let his bride know that he cared about her outward appearance and her beautiful features. And he was making sure that he gave clarity to that so that she could hear it. Now, we don't know how long he continued to tell her that,
mm-hmm.
but we do know that he started out the way he wanted to finish up, obviously. And so that's key for people who are engaged, who are in marriages. And it's not too late if you haven't built those kind of foundations or those kind of situations in your relationship. It's not too late to start doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because some people just don't know how. And you have to make sure that you start where you are, and then go on a date. You know, don't just wait for special occasions or for anniversaries, but go ahead and be spontaneous and try to do things to let your significant other know that you're caring about them, or that you go out of the way to get things for them that they have.
Bacon.
You're silly. So you knew where that was going.
But sausage. What is wrong with him?
So that's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke.
Deacon Stevens, I don't know if you've on the call or not. Is that Stevenson, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Moore's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He called me last week after Bible study, and I think he's on the streaming side, and he said how much he appreciated sharing in the Bible study and how much he enjoyed that. But I just wanted to let all of you know that it's important that you still have the opportunity to make a shift, and it's important for those who are yet kind of lackadaisical in what they are doing and what they're going through and haven't developed any kind of, skills in terms of showing affection. It's not too late to do that. You know, you can still do that. And I believe it'll help you tremendously in terms of accomplishing your goals and what you want to see. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. What, you have some comments there?
Yeah, Sister Gwen says, we tend to teach younger children that hitting and running away or pulling of hair by boys is their way of showing that they like you. This sends a mixed message.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
does send a mixed message.
That's true. That's true. And that yeah. happens a lot in elementary school.
Elementary school, yeah.
And the boys don't know how to be expressive. And
right.
so they feel if they pull the hair and they run and they tag mm-hmm. them and all of that, they're trying to show that they like them
mm-hmm.
and that they're being expressive in that.
Right.
That
but
way.
Really, that's not a good
that's
way
not
to
a
show.
Good way. Right.
Express your feelings.
So all of it starts at home, and that's where we're going with this. And we have to make sure that we set the tone and the tenor as parents and helping our kids to understand, because they, you know, what would normally happen, and this is going back to Dr. Holmes again, normally what happens is that what they don't get at home is what they'll be looking for when they get out there in the world. If there's no love or no expression of hugging or appreciation or support, then that's the void that they try to fill in their lives when they get out there in the world. And many times you'll find different organizations or even gangs that will do that in terms of capturing them. And you wonder, why are these kids in these gangs? It's because these gangs bring them in and they give
them...
Treat them like family, yeah. Give them everything that they didn't get at home.
Right.
Put money in their pocket, hug them and tell them they're going to be all right. They're going to do this and they're going to succeed. I'm not saying that I'm with that whole program, but that's what happens when they get into that situation. They're getting what they didn't get, and then they become more inclined to be committed to that because that's what's missing in their life.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
And one thing that's missing is, you know, with gangs, it's predominantly male,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the males are missing in our homes.
Yeah.
And so they don't have that male figure, and so that's what they gravitate towards.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we're still in the fourth chapter. We're back online on the Facebook side, and so we praise God. Brother Brian, he worked through those technical difficulties, and we're back up and running, but thank God for y'all continuing to be steadfast as we work through that little situation. But we have read the first five verses of this fourth chapter, and Solomon is being very expressive in terms of his appreciation for the outward beauty of his bride and how much he admires and appreciates her physical beauty. And we have to be expressive in showing appreciation and making sure that we let people know how we feel about them. And it's not just in word, but it's also in deed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, word is also important, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know you say that you like to express yours by showing love, but it's also important to say how much you love and care and appreciate a person. We talk about sometimes the five love languages, and so we have to find the love language in which our partner speaks. Do they like gifts? Do they like words of affirmation?
Mm-hmm.
Do they like physical touch? You know, everybody is different, but I can't remember who the author, Gary Chapman is the author of that book, The Five Love Languages, and he expresses five different love languages that people are inclined towards. And so if you find the love language of your mate, then you will more than likely have a happier relationship or a happier marriage.
And that does not exempt us from having to face difficulties or trials or tribulations. But when we are in touch And when you're in touch in a way where you know when things are not going well, and you help in being an asset and not a liability in that situation, it speaks volumes. And so each of us are made differently and we are built differently, but God has given all of us a perfect example through his love for us as to how we ought to be expressive in our love for each other.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on through 6 through 10, shall we?
Okay. All right. Why are you looking at me like that? Why don't you tell the people what this bacon and sausage was about? Some people probably
moved on from that.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on.
Bacon.
See what I'm saying?
No, I like bacon. I like bacon. I don't eat a lot of pork, but I do like bacon. But there is a country store down in Mississippi that sells the thick sliced bacon with the rind on it. And so my husband knows that I like that. And so Brother Rush, Dr. Rush's husband, goes down and he gets bacon and sausage from the country store. They have a smokehouse, I believe, where they
That's
do
right.
this bacon and sausage. So he surprised me today and asked Willie to bring me some of that bacon and sausage. So my mouth is already watering.
We might have to put some bacon on today.
Bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. You know that thick sliced bacon with the rind on it.
Can't find that
bacon.
No. They don't sell that in the stores.
Not anymore, they don't. No. They used to all the time. But my goodness, love that bacon with some rind on. So I have some. Yes, I do. And he bought that for me and surprised me with it. So that's what we're talking about, doing little things like that to show your love and appreciation. And also sausage. They have that sausage, and it doesn't have much fat in it at all. It's mostly meat. So good sausage, country sausage, and country bacon. So I love that. But let's move on.
Jefferson said that's that fat back.
Back and crackling rim skin. I know that's right. That's some good eating.
Yeah.
All right. We haven't even gotten through our...
We almost out of time.
I know. That's why I keep saying we need to move on. Let's look at verse number 6. Until daybreak and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Ammon, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's den and from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices?
Let's go ahead and read all of that, Lady Kim, and then we'll just come back since the time is getting away from us, and we'll see what verses there that really kind of stand out that we can elaborate on.
My lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb.
Verse
11.
Okay, verse number 11, 4th chapter, Song of Solomon.
Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates and pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, and all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well living waters, a stream from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits.
Okay. So here we see a lot of comparison and symbolism here taking place as he begins to continue, Solomon, that is, to woo his bride and express all of how much he appreciate. What do you see there?
Go ahead.
How much he appreciate the physical attributes of his Shunammite bride. Now, you had made mention of Solomon earlier, but Solomon was the wealthiest man and the wisest man to ever live, and he had his choice of whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it, without any question, he could get it. And so he was well off like that. And so this woman, with all of what he's describing, and he took this whole fourth chapter to really express the outward beauty, he made sure and he was certain that she was the one that really caught his inward eye, so to speak. And so he had decided that he was going to settle in and settle down and be who who is that?
There are others who speak sausage and bacon. That's what I was laughing at. There are several others at ATOP who speak bacon and sausage.
Yeah, I'm silly.
Oh boy.
Okay. So Solomon is really being clear in terms of making sure that his bride understands how much he appreciates her, and he's really capturing her with his words and with the essence of his appreciation for her beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think any particular verse you want to lift out of there, as we're running out of time in this fourth chapter, you just read verses 10 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks about the different spices and the different fruit, the pomegranate fruits, and all of the different things, which really are plants that describe the fragrance and also the color and the taste. All of that is coming out of the expression that he's trying to render as he makes a reference to those. And then he talks about the different smells that you get as a result of those particular elements. And I think when we try to wrap this up, Lady Kim, we'll see that King Solomon, as we said earlier, he's wooing his bride, and he talks about the fragrances of Lebanon, and he describes the locks of the garden and being unlocked, and he talks about all of these different things, and he describes how beautiful her eyes are, her teeth, her hair, her mouth, her lips, her neck. He goes all the way into extreme mm-hmm. detail, and he calls her beautiful. And so that's part of what we were talking about earlier. And he said this woman really has stolen his heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's captured him. He's on another level. He's gone. He's out there, and he's saying how much he is pleased with what he has seen and what he believes is going to be the right combination for him in terms of what he needs and what he's looking for. And he talks about this fragrance that she has
mm-hmm.
as he describes her beauty and how he describes her attributes and her character and her characteristics.
And you know, one thing as we get ready to close is that God established a marriage from the beginning of time.
Okay.
And that intimacy that is shared was created by God to be enjoyed and celebrated within the marriage covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. And Solomon beautifully lays it out here in this fourth chapter mm-hmm. about, you know, when he has found the woman of his dreams and how he feels and how she makes him feel. So he's very enamored by this Shulamite woman.
Okay.
And so, you know, we don't need to read between the lines here. You know, we don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed that the sexual relationship between a man and a woman has been sanctioned by God.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
A beautiful thing.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right. Well, let's move on as our other comments. Or...
Yes, Sister Gwen said his nose is open, and if it rains, he just might drown. true. That's true. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. You know, God has created a woman for every man and a man for every woman. We just have to be willing to work with one another, to understand each other, and to learn each other's love language so that we can work within the context and in the confines of God's love.
That's good. That's good. I couldn't have said that any better. You really pulled all of that together with that last statement. I agree wholeheartedly with you. And so we're going to prepare to close out tonight. But if there are any requests, prayer requests that any of you might have, please list those and let us know so that as we prepare to close out, we want to make sure that we call that name and intercede with you, touch and agree with you, and believe God for what you're believing him to do in your situation. And once again, we just are very grateful for Dr. Rush and House of Christ as she came and delivered a powerful word on yesterday. And we praise God for the members of ATOP as we went through our cancer, luminary walk on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
Michelle.
A powerful time, and people turned out in large numbers. And I know from the way the bags were displayed and the traffic, I could see people kind of slowing down, looking, trying to figure out what was going on. But it was a presence there that was expressed as we gathered and as we walked and as we prayed and as we just gathered together as the people of God.
Amen. Again, thank you to the health ministry, Sister Michelle Carter, for pulling that together. We want to thank Encompass Health, who provided snacks for us at the end of the walk, as well as some giveaways.
That's right.
Methodist Health provided giveaways. Thank you, Sister Trina Lapsley, for going above and beyond, and Sister Pat Reynolds for all of your hard work,
hard work.
And Sister Geraldine Orange and Sister Sharon Marshall. Man, those ladies worked so hard. And I know I'm missing some others, and please forgive me if I did not call your name, but you all did an outstanding job. The men went over and above. The men of ATOP made a special commitment. And so we will have the final count for that on this Sunday. Can we get a final count on this Sunday? Because I know we went over and above what we anticipated. Okay, so Brother Martez is asking prayers for Sister Pat Echols. We will most certainly be praying for Sister Pat and Sister Brother Byron Exum. We're going to be praying for Byron Exum in the loss of his father, and we're praying for Dorothy Foster. We will be praying for Dorothy Foster. If anybody else needs prayer, please let us know, so we can lift them up in prayer on tonight. All right. As we get ready to close on tonight, continue to keep us in your prayers as we go forth to do our pray and go on Saturday and our prayer drive-through. We invite each of you to come out and help us with the prayer drive-through and the pray and go. The prayer drive-through, we simply stand out in front of the church as people drive up and we pray for them. They don't have to get out of their cars. We pray for them and then they drive off. In our pray and go, we go canvass the neighborhood. We pass out information. We pray for that home, and then we place a door hanger on the doorknob, or we pray for a particular individual if they want prayer, and we give them information about the church and we move on. So we ask that you would join us on this Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. We only go out for 2 hours from 10 to 12. So make time today to give the Lord 2 hours of your time this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon to help us with Pray and Go in the prayer drive-thru. And then we will see you on Sunday at 9:45. We will be in our sanctuary with our worship service. So we have our prayer requests that are listed on tonight. We're going to get ready to pray.
Okay. I was checking to see if there were other requests on either the other platforms. I don't see any. So we'll go ahead and would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Please? Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you for the words from the Song of Solomon that remind us how we need to love our significant others. We ask, oh God, that as we go forth from this lesson on tonight, that you would continue to bless us and guide us and lead us. We ask a special blessing upon Sister Pat Echols, God. We ask a healing to take place in her body right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for Byram Exum in the loss of that father. Strengthen that family tonight, God, as they go through that loss. We know that weeping endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We lift up Sister Dorothy Foster to you. Whatever the situation is, God, we ask that you would just meet her every need, God, as we know you can. And we thank you, oh God, for the gifts that each individual brings to Anointed Temple of Praise. We pray for our upcoming prayer drive-through and Pray and Go. We ask that the people that you send, that we might be able to minister to them, that they might get a breakthrough. We ask you, oh God, to do something new in their lives, something different that has never happened before. Bring them out, oh God, and then bring them in if they don't know you as Lord and Savior of their lives. And we thank you tonight, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We lift up our pastor to you. Continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge, oh God. Continue, oh God, to allow ATOP to rise above any circumstances and meet the needs of the people in the community. We thank you, and we love you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. All right. Well, thank you, Lady Kim, for that powerful prayer. Even as we prepare to close out, make sure now you prepare for next week with Chapter 5, and we're making our way right through this book of Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs. And so thank you for your support and for your patience tonight. And be blessed until next time.
Bless you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.